This episode is brought to you by Peacock, presenting critically acclaimed originals, Poker Face, Mrs. Davis, Bupkis, and A Friend of the Family, plus unscripted gems, The Traitors, and The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning. For your Emmy consideration, stream them now, only on Peacock.
Hi, I'm Dominic Patton.
And I'm Pete Hammond.
And this is the Deadline Podcast TV Talk. We're back.
We're back. It's good to be back after all this time. There's certainly a lot of television to talk about this year. There's more content than ever. And we're going to be discussing first this week the contenders for Best Comedy Series at this year's Emmys. Plus, you're going to hear a snippet from my conversation done all the way back in April, well before that writer's strike, with the cast and creator of Schmigadoon, and that was from our Contenders event.
Now, of course, as Pete has mentioned, there's a ton of TV to talk about this year, as there is every year. I think this is our fifth year doing TV talk, if I recall correctly. This year, of course, we're encountering a writer's strike. The actors, they might even do their own thing, too. We don't know, but that's all happening, and we're all out, you know, we're full support of everyone getting paid what they deserve to get paid. But let's
including
talk
us.
A little bit right now.
We deserve to get paid what we get paid to do TV talk here. So,
well, you do. I don't. I mean, I'm in it for the free donuts. And to that, to talk about the power of writing and the power that writers have and why they're so central to our industry, we are looking, as Peter said, at the contenders for Best Comedy Series for this year's Emmys. Now, of course, a little way to go before the voting starts, a little way to go even more before we get to the actual Emmys. In fact, and that's going to come down the line. We, of course, will be having the Emmys with the creative Emmys. We'll be over two nights on Saturday, September 9th and Sunday, September 10th. And, of course, the primetime Emmys will be airing on Fox on September 18th. We do not know what the state of Hollywood labor will be at that time, but we do know there'll be nominees. And we do know there'll be winners. Mr. Hammond, who should be one of the nominees for Best Comedy Series?
Okay, I have to say, when we know they're going to be nominees, this is very competitive. There are a lot of good shows, some very good new shows, too. I think voters, of which I'm one, will gravitate towards the usual, what we expect here, Ted Lasso, in its third and supposedly final season. And it looks like it probably is. Although
well, I don't
never
know.
Say
I mean,
final.
You know, by the time the Emmys come, they might have had three spinoffs and a whole new Ted Lasso.
It may be, but I think we're going to see a repeat of last year in the nominees here of Ted Lasso, of Only Murders in the Building, of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, also in its final season. Yep. And of Abbott Elementary, which didn't win last year in the comedy series. She did take writing for a comedy series, which Brunson did.
We bring up the importance of writers?
Yep. Again, well, Quinta, you know, won that, but the show didn't win. It went to Ted Lasso, which has won the last 2 years in a row. What we don't have this year is Hacks, which has been a major player in the comedy categories the last 2 years. They simply didn't have a season here. I think the star, Gene Smart, had a heart problem, and they had to take some downtime.
And Gene Smart, she had an operation, and she's recovering. Blessed be her name, and we hope she's back to join us soon. What's interesting, though, is it's amazing when you look at what the, I guess let's call them the current contenders. You know, Pete has mentioned Ted Lasso, which is, at least in theory, has finished its third season, which might probably be its final season, though clearly they want to do more. There is The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, which is on its final season. There is Barry on HBO, which has had its final season as well. And, of course, there is Atlanta on FX, which had its final season as well. Reservation Dogs, also on FX, one of the greatest shows on television now. Hopefully see that. But I have to say, if you're looking at some contenders for comedy nominees, you can't ignore two newbies, and that's Shrinking, which is also on Apple TV Plus, which, among many other things, besides it's partially created by one of the co-creators of Ted Lasso, has Harrison Ford in his first TV series as a...
And he's great. We love Harrison Ford.
And so is Jason Segel, and so is every... I mean, Shrinking is actually a show that snuck up on me, and I'm glad it did, because of all those years of therapy, I'm really glad I get to see the other side of the coin.
You know what's interesting? Dominic, is that shrinking comes from Bill Lawrence and Brett Goldstein, you know, who are also obviously very involved in Ted Lasso. I think we're going to see them competing directly against each other this year. It's inevitable that we're going to see Ted Lasso, and I think it's inevitable that we're going to see Shrinking grab one of those slots.
I think so, too. And, of course, at one point down the line, we'll be talking about drama, and if you want to talk about competing against yourself, I'm just going to say one word, Succession. Nonetheless, I will also say one of the things about Shrinking that cannot be overlooked is the incredible performance by Jessica Williams, who is one of the three shrinks of the title, along with Jason Segel and the grumpy Harrison Ford. And she is actually, in my opinion, the real star of the show. But the other newbie that's out there that you can't ignore is Natasha Lyonne and Poker Face, which has proven itself to possibly be Peacock's long-awaited breakout series. And certainly this crime of the week has certainly solved and proved, no lie, to be a magnificent debut for the Comcast-owned streamer.
And Rian Johnson, who, coming off his second Oscar nomination for writing the Knives Out mysteries, is going to be up for Emmys here, I think, as well. He's such a sharp, creative guy, and he does a great job with Poker Face. I do agree with you that this is Peacock's best shot right now. They've had a lot of kind of not even near misses, quite frankly. I don't think they've even come close.
One thing, let's be clear. There's actually no such thing as a near miss. It's a near hit. And they have not even had a near hit in this case.
No.
Except for Poker Face. And I will say in limited series, Mrs. Davies. But that's another show for another day.
Yeah, but now you have not mentioned another. You said there were only two here, Shrinking and Poker Face. Come on. The Bear.
You know what? I don't think so. I'll tell you one thing. No, I'll tell you what. Most people don't consider most people don't think of The Bear as being a comedy. And it's certainly if you know the series and know the story and how one brother takes over the family restaurant that his other brother ran and all the issues there, I'm just going to say there's a lot of support group work in this show, both internally and externally. And I just don't think it's one that people consider a comedy. I think a lot of people love The Bear and they're so glad it's coming back. But comedy? Hard.
Well, Barry? Do you think Barry is a comedy? And, you know, I mean,
the way Henry Winkler plays his character, yes. And then secondly, okay. I'll also say another one that I think can confuse voters. And this is a lot of based on things that you've said over the years. You know, people vote for what they know, right? And then a lot of these shows, especially the ones, previous winners like Ted Lasso, Ms. Maisel, other ones where they have had some legacy here, they're going to almost get put to the front of the nomination line. One of the ones I think that can confuse some people, and it's a real shame because it's a magnificent show, is Netflix's Beef, where I will say simply that I never knew Ali Wong could be so dramatic as well as so funny, and it's fantastic. But as for a comedy, I think that might be a hard sell for some people. Again, maybe it's time for there to be a consideration of dramedy as a real category. Because
I think Beef is in limited. Isn't Beef going to be in limited series, though? I think it is.
I don't know.
I think it is. I don't think it's in the comedy category. But when we get to limited series in a couple of weeks, we'll double check that. But I'm pretty sure that's where they've entered it. And I agree with you. It would be hard to label that. And maybe that's why. As a comedy, it's difficult. You know, I love what we do in the show.
Don't you think that's also true?
I love what we do in the show.
Don't you think that's true of The Bear? I mean, do you think of The Bear as a funny show?
Well, you know, I think of certain things. Look, I look at comedy, and my preference in comedy is laugh out loud. I Love Lucy, the greatest television show of all time. Okay, I still laugh at that show, and I think comedy by its nature, we should be talking about laughs. And by the way, when I'm talking, and these two shows probably don't have a chance in hell of getting a nomination, but I am going to at least put them in contention here. And one is on a thing called Freevee or whatever for Amazon called Jury Duty. I have not laughed out loud at a show like this one in years. In fact, I watched the pilot twice in a row. I thought it was so funny. It's one guy who's not in on the joke, and I love prank shows. So yeah. He's not in on it, but it's all actors. It's from the guys that did The Office. And everyone else, the judge, everything, the whole thing is a setup, is a fake, except this one guy who's the mark, as it were. And it is so well done, so funny. Well,
and of course, you know what? And you know what? You bring up a good point. And there's another. I mean, Kirk Fox, who's on Reservation Dogs, is in it. And of course, there's a certain former member of the X-Men who shows up playing himself.
Oh, he's great. He's great. James Marsden.
I think Jury Duty is a. I really hope it's not overlooked. Actually, you bring up a really good point, because I remember when I heard about this show, and, you know, we kind of deadline broke the story on this show, you know, I thought, those kind of, it's like a hidden camera thing. It's not going to be any good. It, in fact, was, it sustained long past the number of episodes it had. And actually, to clarify something, you are correct. Beef, which many people thought was going to land in the comedy category, and I did too, actually, it was on my list, is actually going for the limited anthology category, which, of course, now has a new spot because White Lotus is now a drama because they're...
yeah, which is, you know, that's a whole thing, you know, the way they place these shows. I also want to do a shout out.
It should not be allowed. It should be. I know. If you make that, you cannot... I do not believe you can change that horse in midstream, and I think a lot of people do it. Ryan Murphy, not saying your name, but, you know, it's been abused. Definitely been abused.
No, I know. I want to do a shout out to a show that's already canceled. It doesn't have a shot in the world. Hulu canceled it after 8 episodes. I thought it was terrific, called Reboot. It was about taking a 25-year-old sitcom and making it, you know, a reboot of it. And it was a very funny show. It's not going to get acknowledged here, but that was one of the, you know, entertaining shows that I saw this season. There are so many, though. When I look down this list.
And that's unfortunate because, of course, look at the cast of Reboot. I mean, I agree with you on that one. I mean, Paul Reiser was in it. I mean, like, honestly, that man lights up everything he's in. But, you know, Rachel Bloom. Judy Greer.
It's a shame.
Johnny Knoxville. Yeah. And, of course, Keegan-Michael Key.
So good.
Who was on a certain show. I'm going to give you some segue, my friend, here. A certain show that you were talking to some people about at Contenders, I believe.
I know. And that is, thank you for that segue. That is another show that I think, and last year, you know, I was the big supporter of Schmigadoon. I said this should be in there. It wound up with 4 Emmy nominations. It won an Emmy for music and lyrics, as it deserved. And this year I thought, well, let's bring it in. I don't know that there's room. There should be room for it. They attempted, talking about category cheating, they attempted to get thrown into a variety category, which it isn't at all. It is definitely belongs in the comedy series, but it's an outlier, and it's such a smart thing, and they've taken it to a new level this season. They've gone away from the 50s musicals and that kind of thing that they did the first season, and now they're in the Bob Fosse land. They're in the land of Chicago.
Jazz hands.
And it shows its brilliance, brilliantly taking itself to the next level and showing why this format is so good. It's an Apple show. I happened to talk to them way back, and it seems like light years ago in April, before we had a writer's strike here.
Well, and this is where we had a disclaimer. That interview that Peter's about to introduce was conducted before the WGA strike began on May 2nd.
Yes, way before. And in fact, we had everybody way before. Hey, we were smart to do that show, the Contenders, in April, so that everybody was free to come. And Schmigadoon was there. So take a look at my interview with the cast and creators of Schmigadoon.
And when we come back, we're going to talk lead actor and lead actress in a comedy series.
This episode is brought to you by Peacock, presenting critically acclaimed originals for your consideration. Stream hits like Poker Face, the comedic mystery series from Rian Johnson, starring Natasha Lyonne. Mrs. Davis, the epic quest, starring Betty Gilpin, from Tara Hernandez and Damon Lindelof. Bupkis, the semi-autobiographical series starring Pete Davidson, Edie Falco, and Joe Pesci. And the limited series, A Friend of the Family, from Nick Antosca, Plus, don't miss unscripted gems like The Traitors and The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning. Stream it all only on Peacock.
Let's just skip the Emmys and go straight to the Tonys with this. This is amazing. Keegan-Michael Key, you're so terrific in this. And it's fun to see you because you are us. You are the audience reacting to everything happening to you here. It's such a great role, fun part, I imagine.
Yeah, it's really fun because Cecily and I get to have a front row seat to all the musical numbers. You know, it's like having house seats to every show, every single Broadway show. I mean, but the house seats are on the stage. It really is fun to be able to be the lens through which the audience sees the show. And I also have an opportunity this year because last year, you know, Josh's whole thing in Schmigadoon is that he hates musicals. He doesn't understand them. He doesn't want to have anything to do with them. And I remember the director used to say to me, he's like, Keegan, stop tapping your foot. Remember, you hate them. You hate it. You don't want to be there. But I do want to be here. But... And so, so this year, at least, at the very least, Josh knows the rules of the world. But he also, I think he secretly doesn't want to admit that he's falling in love with musicals yet.
And well, Josh is getting in all sorts of trouble here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, winds up in prison with, you know, the guy from Pippin and Hair and, you know.
And Jesus Christ Superstar. And
right.
What did you say the other day, Single? You said you're playing... What did you say?
It's Aaron Jesus. Tveit. Yeah, Aaron Tveit is Jesus, Pippin, Claude Berger from Hair, and Jesus.
And Jesus.
He's two Jesuses.
He's two Jesuses. Right. Yeah.
He's great too. Everybody's great in this, and everybody gets a chance to shine here with fantastic musical numbers and all of that. But it's grounded in some very dark places, some real drama that you have to watch the tone here. They're trying desperately to have a baby, and the series opens in a very serious note.
Yeah, it really does. They come back from Schmigadoon, and there's this... they're on this amazing high where they have found true love. They understand that they have each other, and that you know everything seems like it's going gangbusters. Everything's coming up roses, and then life starts to come back in again, and they realize that having trouble having the baby is one thing, and what is happiness? They thought they had achieved happiness, and now they don't really know what's going on. Everything's kind of faded, and so they're at a, it's like a crisis. It's a bit of a crisis for them, and it's really serious, and you're right. It's grounded in this theme that I think lots of people in the world think about on a daily basis, which is, Am I satisfied? Am I happy? Is what's going on in my life what I want? And they're trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it's got a lot of gravitas to it, I think, this show. Titus, welcome to Schmigadoon. You are the newcomer here on this panel.
These panels make me nervous. These chairs are really fun.
Just tell me, wasn't it a thrill to see that number on this big a screen?
Well, it's creepy from this angle because my face was this movie. It was like kind of distorted. What was your question, though? Sorry.
Just like playing the narrator here.
Oh, sure.
And you're the Greek chorus. You're the guy weaving in and out of this story in a kind of eerie way.
Thank you. No, it's fun to be on the outside of the story and to sort of manipulate the plot. You know, he kind of knows what's going to happen, when and why, but, you know, he kind of has his own sort of complex because he wants to be the center of attention, as you'll find out later on. Did I just spoil it?
That's okay.
Okay.
You're the narrator. Do whatever you want.
Okay. And so you'll sort of understand the underbelly of all that anger. But it's really, really, really fun to be something a little darker and a little more sinister than the way the world is used to consuming me.
It's great. You're so effective in this, and it's a great move to have a narrator. Why did you decide to put a narrator into this one? Is that because it was in so many movies of the musicals of the 70s?
Yeah, that's what I found. You know, Jesus Christ Superstar has Judas, and Pippin, of course, has the leading player. Ben Vereen was amazing. So there were all these narrators. So I thought, like, oh, we got to have someone that's like torturing Josh and Melissa throughout the whole thing. Who better to do that than Titus?
Amazing. You know, just in general, the casting here, you've got the creme de la creme of Broadway right here, sitting here. You know, I mean, when you're casting something like this, it just must be so much fun to go through, who can I get? And to be able to get this group is amazing.
Yeah, a dream come true. I mean, every day on the set, I'm pinching myself. Are these people actually singing my songs? It's crazy. Jane Krakowski, Kristen Chenoweth, are you kidding? And this season, it was just great to write the show knowing who's going to play all the roles and, like, write these songs so they can both show. I mean, these two ladies are, like, the best of the best. They are the best of the best. They're a joy to work with. But then to be able to write and say, like, oh, they can do anything. I can throw anything at them, and they can handle it. And they just, it's the best part of this job.
Let's hear from them. Jane? Bells and Whistles was a major number. I don't even know how you shot it on a television schedule and budget. I really don't, because it goes all over the place. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I play Bobby Flanagan, the morally flexible and turns out physically flexible lawyer of Chicago. You know, it's an incredibly written number, and he thinks it's an honor for us to do his to hear us do his numbers, for him to write us such amazing custom numbers that are written to our special skills and what he thinks we most can do, and he seems to really know what we could all do and what we should be doing. So it's an honor for us to do your songs.
Thank you.
And Bobby Flanagan is just, she's so unique in this show because she's the one that really seems so happy and wants the spotlight and is everywhere. I mean, she's different than everyone else in this.
Yeah, and that's something that Cinco and I discussed in the beginning because, you know, it is the darker musicals, but she's okay with her lot in life where she is. She's making her own rules and is happy with it. And very self-confident, which is fun to play. I think what's kind of amazing about what he put in Bells and Whistles is that she gets to use all of the bells and whistles to mesmerize the courtroom. But then when she actually has to give her summation of the law, she, in her a la Company Sondheim way, she actually does know the law and has a full comprehension of the law. So you think she's just this sparkling thing, but then when she has to do the law, she actually knows it. So.
She's right there. And you know what's interesting too is they're playing different characters than they did in the other one, which is what happens in musical theater. Except for Josh and Melissa don't quite understand that.
Well, certainly Josh doesn't. Yeah, Josh is thoroughly confused as to what's going on. No, but that's him. That's the mayor. That's the mayor. Yeah.
So great. Kristen, again, what can I say? I mean, you know, there's nothing you can't do. And it's so much fun to see you in a Sweeney Todd-ish kind of mode there with Good Enough to Eat, walking through there, running that orphanage and everything. How much fun was this? You have more to do in this series than you did in the first one, actually.
I know, and it's so much fun. I really like it. I love the way Cinco, you know, he had me so buttoned up, the character so buttoned up last year. And this year, you know, I have rotted nails and gross teeth and cleavage from hell. And it's just, I was a little, I'm never nervous by this gentleman's brain. But when he said, I'm going to give you a full Sondheim number, I thought, well, you know, all right. And, you just never know how that's, and he nailed it. He nailed it. And so when I'm singing Worst Brats in Town, it's just that, the intricacies, it's so Sondheim, Cinco. And Stephen would have been so proud. He would have been so proud.
Okay, Dominic, who do you think, you know, in the time we have left here, just in terms of lead actors, who's going to take it this year?
I mean, who's going to take it? I mean...
Well, you know, who's going to take the nomination?
I think it's probably... I mean, Jeremy Allen White, The Bear. I mean, I don't really consider The Bear a comedy, but I certainly consider him a really good actor.
He won all the awards earlier in the season.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean... Adam Scott, Party Down, came back and partied hard. Jason Segel for Shrinking. I mean,
Bill Hader.
I'm gonna list off a bunch of names, and none of them are gonna matter because it's gonna be Jason, and he's gonna win it for season 3 of Ted Lasso.
You think so? Okay. Well, Steve Martin.
I'd love Remy to win. I'd love Remy Joseph to win. I'd love Steven to win for Beef. I'd love all those. I'd love a ton of people to win who are going to be in it. I'd love Bob Odenkirk to win for Lucky Hank, even though the real what he should be winning for, of course, was Better Call Saul. But it's going to be Jason.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, there are a lot to choose from here. And of course, Steve Martin and Martin Short will be nominated. It's going to be a similar lineup. I do agree. Jeremy Allen White is going to be the newbie here, but it should be Jason Segel should be here. I don't think he's ever been better than he is in Shrinking. And so hopefully
what about I Love You, Man. He was amazing in I Love You, Man.
Yeah, he was great in that. By the way, you know who's in the who's trying to get a nomination here? They're even taking out ads. I didn't realize it was a comedy. Sylvester Stallone in Tulsa King? How hilarious is that show? I mean, well, it's entered in the
I mean, the man's a legend, and there's some legends involved, Terry Winter and stuff like that, but come on. I mean,
I don't get that at all.
Tulsa King is one of those shows you watch to laugh at.
Right. Okay, actress in a comedy series. Got something interesting for you here.
Right.
Jean Smart not eligible. She's won the last 2 years in a row. We're going to have a new winner. Now, maybe we're going to have a new winner who's an old winner. A bid to Rachel Brosnahan, so good in the finale of Mrs. Maisel. She's back for her final year. But otherwise, it's going to be somebody new, and Quinta Brunson seems to be set up to be that person, I think.
Yes, but I wouldn't count out Christina Applegate. I think...
Yeah, you mean because this is her swan song?
No, actually, I don't mean that. And, you know, and if some of you, I'm sure most of you know, but some of you don't, she's ill, and she's been very open about it, and she recognizes that her life and her career has changed. And Dead to Me, of course, is now over. And so that is part of that. No, I think it's because she was great in that season of Dead to Me. I mean, both of them were. Linda was great, too. But I think that her what's happening in her personal life, you can't ignore, obviously. But her performance, you really can't ignore. But I'd also say Selena Gomez, Natasha Lyonne. I mean, these are, you know, Elle Fanning for The Great. I mean, she's literally Catherine the Great. I mean, this is a very strong category with a lot of big names in it that are going to be really hard to. I think it's going to be hard to get it down to just the nominations, let alone a winner.
It may be. What about Jenna? What about Jenna Ortega in Wednesday? You know, which is Netflix's big comedy hope here, and it's a new show. She's gotten a lot of buzz, and you know, could she turn up here? I don't know that she can.
I definitely think in terms of nominations, yes. Definitely in terms of
Yeah, okay. So, you know, there's and a shout out to Bridget Everett in Somebody Somewhere. I really like her. I really do. And that show just got renewed for a third season. Maybe her time will come soon.
I mean, you know, I'm a huge Reservation Dogs fan. Devery Jacobs, who, of course, now has a foothold in the Marvel Universe. I mean, she'd be an amazing, she'd be great nomination. I think this is one of those categories where you really are seeing a tremendous amount of talent. I mean, this is yet again that, as we call it, that terrible term, peak TV, but there's a tremendous amount of talent here. But in this category, I mean, you could get 20 nominees and you'd still have some left over.
You could. All right, but we're not going to do that because our time is out now. We're done.
So thank you for listening to this episode of the Deadline Podcast TV Talk. Make sure you listen to every episode in our new season, and we're glad to be back, by subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you never miss a single episode of Pete and I talking over each other.
That's for sure. And of course, you can find all of our TV breaking news coverage at Deadline.com.
Thank you for joining us. Talk soon.